This is Hwaenge Shachlech, host of Free Voices on Thursday at 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And on behalf of everyone here at CJSF, I want to thank you. We appreciate you tuning into 90.1 FM on the dial, choosing to spend your time tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM. Shows you value the hard work of our hosts and programmers, and we value your commitment. Thanks for being here.
Canada Land, funded by you.
I'm Jesse Brown, and today I'm endorsing the Conservative Party of Canada.
No, I ask you a question. You keep asking with the
agreement. We're the journalists.
And the Liberal Party of Canada.
The President respected Canada's sovereignty today, both in his private and public comments.
And here's a little something for the NDP.
Corrupted bastard. Want to say something?
You say nothing?
Was it I didn't say corrupted bastard.
Was it you?
Wait for that. I haven't voted yet. I didn't make it out to the advance polls. Look, I've been busy. We have been going full throttle with election coverage over here, and I haven't had the chance. But also, I haven't made up my mind yet. I honestly do not know who I'm going to vote for. As I speak to you on this election day, I have no preference. I have not decided yet. My vote is up for grabs, and I've done it before. I've voted Liberal. I have voted NDP. I've voted Conservative. There might have been a Parti Québécois or a Green Party or some other fringe party vote over the years. I honestly don't remember. I have thrown in my lot with anybody for any number of reasons. I have no loyalty. I am politically promiscuous. I'm basically a big slut. So do not believe what you read on Reddit, people. We are not a right-wing news outlet. We are not a progressive news outlet. I don't demand any ideological conformity from my employees when it comes to politics, except on one point. Everybody in our news organization has to agree to be as big a pain in the ass as they can to whoever gets elected. And if we're all signed on for that, then I don't really care who anybody here at Canada Land votes for. I don't even know. Well, today, on this election day, I am going to open up my own process to you. I'm going to try to make an honest account of everything that I'm thinking about as I decide who I'm going to vote for today. So yeah, I'm going to take you through my process. And I have invited anybody here at Canada Land who wants to join to come into studio, in person or remotely, to do the same with me. Wait for it. Hey, team.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey.
Hello.
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 All right. This is going to get confusing unless we all do a roll call here. So if we can introduce ourselves.
I'm Noor Azriyeh. I host Canada Land's politics show. I live in the Toronto Danforth riding, but I'm from Lebanon, but I spent most of my life in Qatar. So in summary, I'm an immigrant who can't vote, who has a ton to say.
I'm Tristan. I'm the audio editor here at Canada Land. I was born in Toronto, but have lived most of my life in Montreal.
My name is Julian Abraham. I am a reporter for Canada Land. My hometown is Halifax, Nova Scotia, and I spent the last 5 years living in the U.S.
My name is Farhaya Ahmed. I'm the office manager at Canada Land. I'm from Ottawa, Ontario, but I've been living in Toronto for about 10, 11 years now.
Hi, I'm James. I'm a producer of our media criticism show. I'm in Guelph.
What we're going to try to do today is an experiment in honesty.
I don't like the way that sounds.
on this election day. And, okay, here's my thinking, okay?
Let's hear it.
Throughout this campaign, and really anytime that people talk about politics or news, we kind of approach it as if it's always this conversation about how do people vote? They vote their values. They vote their principles. They vote for the policies. that align with those things. They vote out of empathy for others. And the assumption is always that this is what is like going to be in our minds when we all go to the polls. And I hope it is. But there's other stuff that does not really get reflected in these conversations. Like, people vote out of just, like, the biggest one is, like, which of these candidates is going to save me or make me the most money? Like, that's a really big one. People vote out of shame. Like, if you're going to be embarrassed to tell your friends who you vote for, that's going to affect your vote. So I don't need you to disclose your worst tendencies, the, you know, extent to which shame, anger, clannishness. We need a better word in English than clannishness. But, like, you know, people are pack animals and they're like...
Tribalism.
I wonder if it's possible to have on this election day a conversation where we open up our process to each other about what we're really thinking. However, there are obstacles in this exercise.
No.
Some of them are just like our policy as a company. Like, I actually cannot ask you who you're going to vote for. Okay? So that's the rule that I have.
What, like as a manager?
Can't ask if you're pregnant or who you vote for.
Those are the two big questions.
Yeah, there's other things, but those are the two relevant, I guess, to me.
Yeah. Now, that's don't ask. That isn't don't tell. But we have a don't tell here, kind of. There is, like, company policies for editorial employees, and we try not to be, like, didactic, like, you can never express a political opinion like, you know, The Economist or somebody might have. But here's how it's written in the Canada Land Guide to Canada Land. We expect employees to avoid any personal, financial, or other interests that might hinder their capability to perform their job duties. Editorial employees must recuse themselves from covering topics or stories that they know will place them in a conflict of interest. And the burden of, like, keeping track of that is on the editorial employee. So what that means is, if you were to go out there and say, I'm going to vote for X, or go to a rally for X, or you should vote for X, then that could conceivably, and I think reasonably, make it hard for you, if you cover politics, to be seen as in any way fair or neutral. And then you'd have to recuse yourself. And those are the guardrails that we're going to try to observe as we conduct this experiment. I think I found a way for me anyhow around these rules, which is the way that I'm going to talk here. I'm not going to say who I'm voting for.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, hypothetically, if I vote for this party, here's why I would hypothetically be doing so, because I'm clever like that.
James here. The pregnancy parallel is interesting because, like, I will confess I am not pregnant with my vote. It's actually been delivered already, early, slightly premature, ahead of term.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's no being a little bit pregnant. There's no being a little bit conservative. If you cast a conservative vote, you know, then you did it, which I'm not saying you did, James. I have no idea what you voted. I'm not asking. If I were to vote conservative, I would be doing so, hypothetically, out of spite. That's the rationale.
Wow.
Interesting.
Who hurt you, Jesse?
Who hurt you?
Canada hurt me, Tristan. Like, just a month ago, Canadians had collectively decided in poll after poll, based on a decade of experience under the Liberal government, that we deserve better. Like, mm-hmm. that was what we had collectively decided. And then Trump makes, like, a dumb, hollow joke about Canada being the 51st state. And, like, we're supposed to drop everything, reverse course, and pick a different leader and a different government than we would. Like, why? Because Poilievre is too Trumpy? There's so many reasons, hypothetically, why I might never want Poilievre to be prime minister. But I'm not afraid that he's too Trumpy. Like, that's meaning, like, not everything is about f***ing Trump. You know, we're a sovereign nation. What is my criticism about Canada being for years that we're, like, deeply unserious? We don't pay enough attention to what happens here. We don't get good government, just like we don't get good journalism or good comedy shows, because we don't demand them. We don't think that our country is worth our own attention. We'd rather pay attention to American politics. The limited attention that we have for ourselves is just, like, how do we look to Americans? And, like, we don't want to look like we're following them into Trumpiness. So we pick the guy who looks like the most Canadian brand. despite the fact that we'd already decided that we're going to make a different choice. So that, like, just out of, like, teenage spite, like, you can't tell me, you can't make me, you know? And it's pure spite because the conservatives can't win in my riding. It's just a totally empty gesture. It's like a teenager spite. You, you know, that's the biggest reason why I would vote conservative.
For Hair jumping in here, I would say, though, it's not even like Mark Carney is like the most Canadian. It's kind of like, have you ever had a friend be in like horrible relationship after horrible relationship, and then they're single, they're out in the streets, and they're just like, it's too cold out here. I'm going back to what I know. We can't change anything up because we might become America 2.0 or whatever.
Ferreira, you're drinking the conservative Kool-Aid. They had an ad about this. They had Andrew Scheer run the ad about this.
You guys aren't texting again, are you? I thought this was over, man. I mean, you said you were out. You were telling me how terrible the last 10 years were.
I mean, sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're right. I'm like, I mean, but Pierre also, like, two things can be true. He does have a horrible personality. I think we've, like, talked about this a lot, but, like, he's just, like, a little loser, you know? And Carney is, too. But I think Carney is not trying to prove that he's cool.
Probably has, like, got a comically unlikable, unpleasant personality.
And we've seen him go through puberty. Like, he dropped the glasses. Now he's trying to stand taller, roll up his sleeves.
Am I alone here? Does anybody dare say anything else about why they might vote conservative, or shall we move on? Noor, do you have anything to add to this part of the show before we move on?
No comment. No, I'm joking. I will say this. I remember watching the debates, like, recently, and there was a moment where Pierre Poilievre looked directly at the camera and was like, I'm speaking to young people.
Let me start by talking to the young people of the nation and those who are aspiring to home ownership. You know, it was only 10 years ago you could buy an average house for $450,000. But in the last lost liberal decade, housing costs have doubled, rising faster than in any country in the G7. And so now our youth cannot afford a home, and our seniors are worried about being evicted.
And I thought it was this, like, really profound and very strong moment for him, because I feel like young people don't really give a damn about the tariffs the way that, like, a 60-year-old person would. So I think that moment for him was really strong. His, like, dedicated focus on housing and affordability, I think, is something that speaks to a lot of young people. There is something really interesting happening in the polling that young people are leaning towards Poilievre in numbers. And we're talking men and women, though predominantly men, young men.
Great points. He spoke to young people and they heard him. They are polling for him.
100%.
And if he loses, maybe when he loses, it will be boomers trumping the young vote. And I wonder what that means for, like, down the road, how this country is going to turn politically. And, you know, I think that when we discuss things, it's like, again, we try to make it about principle of, like, the liberal approach to housing of, like, oh, the government should build the housing and then there can be controls to make sure the right people get the housing,
yeah,
versus the conservative principle of housing that should be market driven. But the actual reality is not just a war of two principles. It's a war of two realities. I don't know that the conservative approach is better.
Totally.
But the liberal approach has been tried, mm-hmm, and we haven't gotten anywhere. So what I felt at that part of the debate, I thought, he wins this part of the debate. He's convincing me more. I'm ready to try something different with housing, I felt at that point.
I just want to say, though, the problem with the focus on young voters is that a lot of young voters don't come out to vote on election day, and they don't show up to the advance polls. So, you know, maybe his strong commitment to young people is, like, really strong and powerful and meaningful, but I don't know if that translates.
It's been a losing strategy focusing on young people. Like, traditionally in Canadian politics, it doesn't win you elections.
I'm not sure if talking to young people directly will get them their votes, but I think talking to young people appeals to older people who are like, I'm thinking about my kids, I'm thinking about my grandkids, that kind of future-oriented thing.
I would hope
I think
so.
Like, older people really do think about that stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
I had one listener write in saying, like, I'm into these policies because, like, I got to get my kids out of my house.
Yeah, and especially a lot of older folks are really panicked about, like, the price differences of, yeah, just even housing or education from when they were younger to now for their kids.
I think we got to move on. And I think I'll start us off here in explaining hypothetically, why I, Jesse Brown, would vote liberal. I do it for the money. This is a surprise to me because this is how the cookie has crumbled here. And I promise to be totally honest about the real machinations of voting here. I thought that Pierre Poilievre was the guy who hates government subsidies for media. And for my financial interest, as a matter of principle, Canada Land does not take government subsidies. I just don't know how you can circle that square. I don't know how you can rely on government for money and still cover them and claim to be independent. I took that position early, and now we're leaving like six figures on the table every year because of that. But the competitors get it, right? I would have thought that Poilievre would have been like, for the Canada Land business, would be a good call because, like, okay, he's going to get rid of all the subsidies for the media. He's not. I think it's because he's gone so hard on the defund CBC thing that, like, he can't come into power and, like, just destroy the entire media, right? So he's actually going to increase the media subsidies, which we don't take. So he's going to give our competitors more money, and I don't want that kind of money. Meanwhile, the kind of money we do take, I was not into Bill C-18, which forces Google to pay media a forced license fee. I think it's a stupid policy, but I have way less of a problem taking a licensing fee money from Google than I ever had with taking government money, right? So we do take money from C-18, even though I don't like the policy, and that's the one that Poilievre wants to kill. So he wants to give my competitors more money and take away money from us. So in a purely, like, I'm just looking at the bills here, it does not make sense for me to vote conservative as a business owner, right? So I would vote liberal for the money. Will anybody here make the hypothetical case for voting liberal?
Yeah, this is Julian. You know, my family ties are in Nova Scotia, and seeing the way healthcare is in, especially in that part of the province, and especially after I just lived in the U.S. for a few years and seeing the vast differences in healthcare systems, you know, if I were to vote liberal, it would be because I find their healthcare part of their platform pretty comprehensive. That would be the main draw for me.
Let me just jump in here. It's James.
Mm-hmm.
To answer the question why I would vote liberal is, you know, driving around town, I have like a informal poll happening in the backseat. My son, who's 7, is like constantly counting the signs and telling me like how many red signs there are versus blue versus green versus orange. He gives me like a running count. And when he travels to different towns, he's like, I saw 11 reds and 7 blues in Coburg. You know, it kind of comes down to that. Like, if I want my vote to make a difference in this election in my town, there's a lot of red signs, and then the next up are blue signs, and then after that there's green signs, and finally orange signs. You know, having children now, I think of politics just in terms of like basic colors. But if I want my vote to have like maximum impact, and voting for one of those primary colors, to lack of a better term, would be why I would do it.
For here, similar to you talking about the Conservative Party, if I were to vote Liberal, it would be out of spite to the NDP party, because I'm so unbelievably annoyed and exhausted and just like disgusted, honestly, especially because things are getting progressively worse just in terms of like livability. And, you know, these like high powered politicians, even though, you know, they're the minority, like they still have power, and they're just like, oh, I can't do anything. Can you help me?
I don't know what you're talking about. Jagmeet Singh sat right here in the studio where you
oh my
are.
God.
And he said, I'm running for prime minister.
Came in here with his banana bread and a dream, you know?
Like, really?
I can think of one more reason to vote liberal.
I can also think of one more.
All right, you go first.
If you believe in strong journalism and media, that's why you'd vote liberal, because they're not planning to defund the CBC.
And what are they asking for in return for giving the CBC more money than they've ever had? Like, there's some vague language in there about strengthening local news. That even the Liberals had, the Heritage Minister had a plan to, like, make them stop competing with private media, and now that's gone. So they're going to give the CBC more money, and I don't think it comes with any, like, hard, like, even the CBC's biggest fans, I think, are saying now that the CBC's never been worse, never been less relevant. And it really Sorry, I got the better of myself there. This is why we might vote for them. Okay, I hear you. I hear you.
Look, you can criticize the CBC all you want, and I do my fair share of that every evening when I tune into the CBC. But if the alternative is defunding it and gutting our media, then yeah, I would see that.
Absolutely. Give them more money and then to make them whole for turning the ads off. Public broadcaster or private, like just stop being both. That's it. Like So anyhow, I'm out of whack with my own premise here again.
For anyone who's not visually seeing the way Jesse Brown is moving and squirming in his chair,
you think that's going to make journalism better? Give them more money. They're going to do with the more money. They're going to make more Murdoch mystery.
Like my God, I love Murdoch mystery. No,
I'm gonna.
So good.
I'm in my conservative bag because I'm like defund the CBC. I don't give a. Like, honestly, what are they doing? What are they doing?
Oh, I can't wait for more true crime podcasts about other countries or shows about pop culture. Like,
really, really bad narrative shows.
Tristan here. I got to push back a little bit, Jesse.
Thank you, Tristan.
What other Canadian TV producer is putting out Schitt's Creek, is putting out Kim's Convenience? Like,
when were those shows canceled? How long has it been since those shows have existed?
Well, there's actually a new CBC show called North of North, and it's really f***ing good. I mean, it's like a tad cringy.
It's a tad cringy, but I watched it all.
But, like, it's okay. Everything at the CBC is cringy.
All right, this is my fault. I derailed it, and not everything has to end in CBC. Okay, so I should have just let Noor say her thing and not respond.
And squirm in your chair.
You spoke for the people.
In my studio, calling for the CBC to get more money with no strings attached. Ah, that was a test of my patience. Okay. One last reason to vote Liberal is because I live in Chrystia Freeland's riding.
Wait, that would make me not.
Oh, yeah, really?
That was
okay.
A plot twist.
May I expand?
Please.
The Ballad of Chrystia Freeland. They were headed down the toilet. Justin Trudeau was going to run. He wasn't listening to reason from anyone. And she was the only person who could throw the ring into the Mordor volcano or whatever. Like, only she had the power. And at the exact right moment, she forced him out, completely reversing course, saving all of their jobs. And they gave her a standing ovation. And then they said, get to the back of the bus. Why? Why can't I be the leader? Well, we need somebody who can negotiate with Trump. Mother, is there anyone else in this country who has successfully negotiated with Trump but Chrystia Freeland? It is sexist. And we just breezed right past it. I thought she was a gangster in the way she maneuvered that and then her leadership bid. And I know why they didn't go for her. I don't think that she would be winning if they went for her. I understand that. But that's just like saying, yeah, it's because everybody's like really sexist and that's the world we live in, and just sort of accepting that. And then this guy from nowhere just walks into the role. So totally emotionally, no self-interest involved, would take some satisfaction in casting a vote for Chrystia Freeland after what happened to her. All right. Why might anyone hypothetically vote NDP? Julian, why would you vote NDP if you were to vote NDP?
I love Jagmeet Singh. You
do?
Yeah.
You don't hear that much. Please tell us why.
One of my first jobs at CTV when I was starting in media, I was a teleprompter operator. And it was kind of a hard job, but it came with a lot of downtime. And during that downtime, one of my responsibilities would be to greet interview guests and bring them into the green room, get them water, and spend some time with them and keep them company while they're waiting to go on the 6 o'clock news. And I spent like a good hour with Jagmeet Singh one time, and he was just the nicest guy ever. I was studying journalism part-time at the time, and he was going through my school books with me, and we were chatting about stuff, and he just really made a great first impression on me. And I understand that's not like a logical reason to vote for somebody, but definitely it made an emotional impact. And I did vote for him after that.
No shit. To think that these things are not major factors. Why do you think they shake so many hands? And not to be cynical, that sounds like way beyond, above and beyond the call of duty there. And he might just be a good dude. But that's how Robbie and Doug Ford built the Ford political dynasty. Like, if you have enough people who are like, I met that guy. Like, it seems like it's a real person to me who treated me with respect. Like, it really does make a difference. Anybody else? care to mount a defense for voting NDP?
I think.
Come on. So, my friend, you're talking about here.
I could say something.
Noor?
It's a complete, like, this will derail the conversation. So,
do it.
Well, I think I know where we're going. I think I can see the map. There's a little plane, and it's leaving North America. Where's the plane going? Oh, it's going to the Middle East.
I hate you, Jesse. Yeah, I think the only reason, not the only reason, but I think Jagmeet Singh has been the only one with a spine on the Palestine issue. I thought he was very powerful, whether or not you disagree with what he said just on that debate stage, just like absolutely strong fervor.
Your treatment of Palestinians has been frankly disgusting. Your treatment of people who provide care and service for people in Gaza has been disgusting. On top of that, people in Israel and in Palestine deserve to live in peace and security. And Mr. Carney, to date, you've not acknowledged that what's going on in Gaza is now clearly become a genocide. It's important to call things out as they are, and you've not done that.
I was like, okay, here's the passion. There's something fierce here that I haven't seen from him.
I think that's totally valid. Like, a lot of people wanted the NDP to be stronger or bigger, and that scratched that itch for you. And there's a lot of people who that is their number one issue. That's a reason why people who are going to vote NDP, why a lot of them will. Anybody else? Yes, James.
There is a reason why at least four of us on this call might choose NDP, and that's something we haven't mentioned before, which often gets associated with the NDP, is the fact that we're all in the union. And my Labour affiliation, sometimes that does determine your political affiliation or influence it.
And quite wisely, that is how labor asserts itself and stops labor rights from being disassembled, is people, like, their union would say, this is what we're going for, this is who's going to back us up, and then you vote as a block. That's been effective for people.
Right.
Here's why I would vote for the NDP. It would actually be the most strategic, just calculated, logical thing for me to do. It would be a decision not based on emotion or greed. It would be practical. Because they're the only party, they're not really competitive in my riding, but they came in second last time. The most maximum expression of strategic voting that I could make, any other choice, if I didn't want the Liberals to form like a majority, would be to vote for the NDP. And the reason why I would do that is because, like, they're like facing just complete annihilation, and the menu of options we have, like, this is major. To have the NDP lose official party status is just like diminishing what's on the menu in Canada dramatically. And to the extent that having a wider range of policy options and pressure, the ability to form government with, okay, if there's pharmacare, dental care, those are arguably very good policies that we should have, but even just to have more options in the vast rainbow of Canadian political choices and not revert to some like really bad two-party system, that would probably be the most strategic choice that I could make.
Before I say anything, who is your NDP candidate?
I don't know. Why would I know that? Why would I need to know that?
Have you voted?
No.
Okay.
I mean, Chrystia Freeland's going to win. Wouldn't even matter who they are.
Like, maybe it's time to look into who.
Oh, I have to pretend that I'm the informed voter. And all right, okay. But in this hypothetical where I vote NDP, it would be with a great deal of shame, like a great deal of shame, like holding my nose and swallowing my puke just out of the hypocrisy. Is this not the Social Justice Party? Is this not the Anti-Racism Party? And I don't care about the controversy over which metrics we go by, because by any metrics, we have seen disgusting racism over the past 2 years. The police have thwarted multiple mass casualty attempts against a very small racial minority that I happen to belong to, and businesses are getting firebombed and vandalized and places of worship. And if there is anybody who had the moral authority to state unequivocally, in a way that would be heard by the right people, go ahead and protest whatever foreign politics. You are Canadian. You are free to do this. Be as loud as you want. Be as forthright as you want. But simultaneously, this is a explosion